Welcome to another broadcast of the Pamela Folan Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are available in podcast form. Visit artistfirst.com. We welcome your emails and comments to dj@artistfirst.com. And now your host, an author and animal rights activist, it's Pamela Folan.
Hi, Pamela Folan. I'm so glad you're joining me tonight live or on the archives of for Pamela Folan Show. I've got a great, lineup here for you tonight because I'm going to be talking about one of my other favorite subjects, which is writing. And for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, let me tell you a little bit. Again, I'm Pamela Folan. I grew up in Plano, Texas. And I have loved two things, which are pets and writing my entire life. I remember writing numerous short stories, which I was so thrilled when my mom not only saved them, but gave them to me when we were cleaning houses last summer. And now I have all my short stories that I've written across my life, as well as pets. I grew up in a household full of pets. But I always wanted to save every baby bird that I saw fell out of the nest when we were taking walks. Every stray dog that I came across, I wanted to save them all. So these two passions run deep. I have been lucky enough to be able to pursue writing, be a full-time author, and get to do this radio show with you guys the fourth Monday. And I have two book series currently out on Amazon.com. One is a picture book series, Sunny the Wonder Dog, based upon my real life dog who was, I had to find a way to explain his intelligence. Well, being a picture book for 4 to 6 year old children had to be an alien from outer space. So that's what Sunny the Wonder Dog. Sunny is an alien in disguise as a Shih Tzu comes to Earth how to be a dog and not blow his cover. And actually, I have another book in that series coming out first part of March of this year. Sunny's Talents will be available really soon. So make sure your website and Amazon for that. But my other book series is a middle grade fiction book called Megan's World. And this book series was inspired by my four. I found this litter of four kittens abandoned at 1 day old, almost 7 years. And I, of course, being the pet lover, had to save them, had to bring them home and teach myself how to raise them and how to care for them. And after 6 weeks of feeding them every 4 hours, I was so in love with them that I couldn't part with any of them. So they're still listening to me do this live tonight, but they also inspired the series in me, Megan's World. So that's what 13-year-old Megan is doing in the book series. She is learning about pet care responsibility by bottle raising her kittens and then branches off into pet sitting and doing other pets in her fictional world. So all that to say, a deep love for pets and writing. So I want to share with you some of how I got started into writing. I know I already said that I started writing short stories at a very early age. And when I got all these short stories from my mom last year, I had to laugh because, yes, I had stories, but there was one thing I didn't do on them. I didn't edit them at all. There's lots of misspellings and missing words, but I loved writing about animals and how I was going to save all the animals and there'd be no need for rescue groups or anything like that in all these little short stories, hero of saving the animals. And the other thing I realized that I did when I was looking through the boxes my mom gave me is I kept a journal or a diary from a very early age. I was writing, you know, what would happen in school that day or about my friends coming over or what I did with my friends. And I did that all through elementary school and all through middle school. So I was not only journaling or keeping a diary, but I was also writing these short stories from a very, very early age. And to me, writing has always been a very easy way of expressing myself. I'm much easier to me than actually talking out a problem or talking about a situation that might be about to occur to someone else. I much prefer to write it down and organize my thoughts. And then usually in the middle of my doing that, the answer would come to me. So I was super excited when I did a high school study course, good study habits and good ways to make good grades in high school or college, that the teacher of this course told me a thing called jam writing. And this was something he encouraged us as high school students to at least a weekly basis, which was essentially journaling, which I had already been doing 14, 15 years at that point. And it's something I still continue to do today because I thought this jam writing process was so cool. And jam writing is essentially journaling, but you're not allowed to stop and think it through. You're not allowed to stop writing. You sit there 10 or 15 minutes and you write until the buzzer dings on your timer. You don't edit yourself. You just write any thoughts. And I still have my first jam writing notebook started this in. And I laugh every time I read the first couple of pages, but every Monday for 15 minutes. And the first couple of entries, I am literally writing. I don't know what to write. I don't understand this. And it took me through the 15 minutes to get to be where I was writing about what was going on or anything other than I don't know what to write, because for some reason having that I had to be writing something really made me brain dead. But once I got the hang of it, I absolutely loved it and started doing it more than just every Monday. I started doing it as often because it was a fantastic way to get everything out of my head so that I could focus. And I started jam writing every time something wonderful happened to me and I wanted to remember every of a certain event in my life. I would jam write about it because I know we all say we're going to remember things that happen that you think, oh, this night was so incredible. I'll never forget it. Yeah, but later I'm reading back through these jam writing notebooks. I forgot about that. So I think that I have all these entries of important times that I want to remember every moment of. And I wrote about them in my jam writing journal. And it's a great way in your brain. The other thing that is really helpful for of clearing your brain when you've got that's really worrying you or bothering you, and I find my mind wandering because another problem may be outside of school or outside of what I was working on, would taking up all my time and energy because I couldn't focus on my schoolwork. Jam writing, because it was like a brain dump. I wrote down all my thoughts and all my worries and all ever about what was taking my focus away from my classes. And then I was able to get it all out of my system and then focus back on my schoolwork and get myself back on track where I needed to be. And let me tell you, when I got to college, it became a necessity. Being at college classes for 5, 6, 7 hours a day, and then coming home and knowing you had all this homework, all these tests and quizzes and papers and everything else you had to do, you had to be up the next morning. It was something that I started doing every night from college and start my homework. I would jam write. I would write in that notebook for 10 or 15 minutes straight until the buzzer dinged and without stopping, and write about whether it was I made a new friend at college or a professor really hate or just anything that was in my head. Even if I wrote I don't know how I'm supposed to get all this work done before tomorrow morning. But then be able to focus on my studies and my college, I could be productive instead of working for 5 minutes and then daydreaming for 20 and then gotta get back to work. It's not a really good way to work. Way of clearing my mind before I started studying. And it's something I've been out of school. Because I was a dog trainer for 10 years before I started writing my children's books. And it was a great way of getting to write down the different pets and the people and all these different friends that I made across my time. And because, again, I say, oh, I'll remember where this dog as I'm working with a training dog throughout the week. But once you get 3 or 4 dogs deep into a trainer's day, the first one, they kind of all blur together. The journal entry of what was going on with each of my training dogs every day. And I still have those journals too. As you can see, I'm also maybe a little bit of a pack rat. But I think they're really cool to read through and see, because there were certain things that I found really, really fascinating. Like the first time that I was able to successfully use to reward a dog instead of food. But I always heard that some dogs really like toys. It's a lot better when you're training them, but I'd never gotten it to work. And when I finally got to work with a border, oh, I was so excited. And I wrote down all the signs of why the border collie did respond to the tug toy more than food, so that I'd know, okay, don't waste your time offering other dogs, but if they're exhibiting the eyes everywhere else and really eating the treat but not wholeheartedly eating the treat and really have a strong desire like this border collie did, a tug toy might be the way to get them excited about working with you. And when I learned a new technique of training, the other thing that I wrote down, like I have this one entry of doing what I called, I'm sure there's another name for it by now, but I literally called it the zigzag healing approach, which is you have the dog next to you, you both walk in one direction. As soon as the dog, you turn around and go the other direction, and you keep doing that. And you're really only taking 2 or 3 steps one direction before you're turning around and changing directions. And it makes, after only 4 or 5 turns, it makes the dog pay attention to you, but it also makes the hand really dizzy. But it was a very, very fun and easy way to heal to you. So all these little tricks that I haven't done training in 6 or 7 years now, but all these little tricks I still have in my journals, and it's so cool to look back. This is what I did on a daily basis. These were the dogs that I worked with. These were the friends that I had, because I had a lot of great friends at the pet hotels where I was working. And it kind of go back in time and read about what my life was when I was doing the dog training, or when I was in college, or when I was in high school. And so now that I am and writing every day, you know what? It's still, the writing still is in me, even when it comes to the pets. Even though this is my full-time job now, I have kept up a journal of the pets, noting their weight, noting how much they grow each week. I love doing that. New pigs, I did it with the abandoned litter of kittens that I raised. And so, again, this was almost 7 years ago when I found these kittens. And I did it of starting a book series on them. At the time, I was feeding every 4 hours. I didn't have time to think about anything else, but it's so cool to look back and see how truly, truly helpless they were and how quickly it grew. And it made writing the first Megan's World book, Megan's Munchkins, and describing that bottle raising process and everything that you had to do and how tiny they were and how much they grew so much easier, because again, I said I was going to remember it. I didn't. And I was like, wow, they really were tiny. They really were eating a lot. No wonder I had to make up so many bottles of formula for them. And truly a joyful thing for me to be doing of writing, whether it's writing my next book or writing about my pets. It is something I truly love doing. And as you can see, I've been doing it pretty close to my whole life. So we're going to take a short commercial break, but when I come back, I will let you in behind the scenes of what truly goes into my writing. I'm writing a book. So thank you for listening to the Pamela Folland Show. Stick with me. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
There is a Reaper is the story of 5-year-old Christopher Aaron and his life-changing struggle with leukemia. Winner of both the Indy Bragg Medallion as well as the Reader's Favorite Silver Medal for Memoir, There is a Reaper has more than 100 Amazon book reviews and a 5-star rating. It has been described as life-changing, spiritual, a must-read. Just released on Audible and iTunes, this memoir is also available in paperback and on Amazon Kindle for only 99 cents. Get your copy of this life-changing memoir today.
Brought to you by Mistech. Welcome to the future. Go to Mistech.net for the full story, but in the meantime, stop thinking about leveling up and just get some Mistech. People all around the world share their experience and love how they feel after putting it on. We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, along with a lifetime warranty. WTF? What the frequency? Find out today at Mistech.net.
Get ready, Jade. I've got a surprise adventure you're going to love.
Really?
We're going to swim with Sally the Tiger Cub. Even get a photo with her that you can share with all your friends.
I don't want to go, Mom.
Feel all right, Jade? I thought you'd love this.
I'm okay, but I feel terrible for those poor tiger cubs. Did you know that they're stolen from their mothers the day they're born?
What?
Yeah. How'd you feel if someone kidnapped me at birth?
Well...
And when the cubs do normal things like nip and paw, they're punished so they'll sit still for photos. And how would you feel if you were a baby and they pushed you into a deep pool to swim for your life?
I never thought about it that way.
And when they get too big to pet, they end up being imprisoned in tiny cages.
Where'd you learn all that?
From StopBigCatAbuse.com.
Studies show that children who learn compassion for animals show more compassion for humans. So teach your children well. Learn more at StopBigCatAbuse.com.
Hello, Arnold Schwarzenegger here with an important announcement. You may remember me from movies like The Terminator, but I would like to talk about one particular movie where I go to Mars. There is this mountain called Pyramid Mountain, and all this crazy alien shit goes on inside it. Do you think that's all science fiction? Think again, my friend. That's why you have to tune in to Pyramids on Mars UFO radio show on artistfirst.com. My friend Kevin Estrella, he is in a band called Pyramids on Mars. He has also been contacted by aliens. This guy has been a guest on over 15 UFO radio talk shows, so you have to listen to him. There's something going on, and it can't be ignored. He interviews people who have been abducted by aliens. He interviews alien-human hybrids. This is no bullshit. So get to the chopper! Do whatever you have to do and go listen. Get your ass to Mars. Pyramids on Mars. UFO radio.
For joining us on the Pamela Folland Show on the Artist First Radio Network. Want to send us an email? Hit us up at dj@artistfirst.com. Now back to your host, Pamela Folland.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for hanging with me through the commercial break. I'm so glad you're here listening to me live or on the archives on artistfirst.com. Well, about writing and my love of writing and journaling wonderful things all night. And now I'm going to pull back the curtain for you a little bit and talk about what actually goes into my writing process and how I've developed this writing process. And you'll see pieces of jam writing and noting all these facts every time I start a new project, a new book that I'm writing. So it always starts with a one-sentence idea. And when you're a writer or you have a creative mindset, surprised how you can get these great ideas from absolutely sentence. Like the book that I'm currently working on was an idea that my brother gave. Literally was a one sentence idea that we were talking about these different wombat videos that he and his daughter had been watching on YouTube. And so we started watching these things, and my brother said to me, "Oh, Megan, your character in your book series did like an exotic animal and had to watch a wombat one book." So I thought that was a really, really cool idea. And so that's the book that I'm currently working on. And again, it was this one sentence idea of Megan works with exotic animals. He wanted Megan to have to care for a wombat and do all these things that wombats are very, very fascinating creatures. And they kind of look to me big groundhogs. So I thought it was really cool. So that's how this current book that I'm working on started, with that one sentence of idea of Megan works with exotic animals. Well, the next thing I do, once I have this idea and I'm like, okay, I want to start working on it. And now, again, I have to be patient with my process. I know it works from doing several books now that I have out. So the next start writing a book after I get this great one sentence idea is I start forming an outline enough to have the one main plot line in the book around Megan and the wombat in this particular case, but it could be something going on with Megan's family or with school, little side trail plot lines that will make sure that the reader stays enthralled throughout, even if it's not always Megan playing with the wombat. So I line and get the big bullet points, the main points across, the main plot lines going throughout the book. And then I start breaking it out into details, bullet points, I guess they would be, and adding more details to each one of the eventually what will be chapters. And I may start coming up with chapter names. If I really start getting ahead of myself, I'll sometimes jot down on the side of my outline a chapter title. Actually, that comes later, but I get this really, really detailed outline, and it may take me a couple days to really perfect this outline, and in some cases, when I'm at it and really have an understanding of where I want the story to go, I can finish a detailed outline within a couple hours. So it all depends on how quickly the ideas come to me and how quickly I can get the main plot line and those secondary plots in my head and get working on it. But then I get to do the fun part. I get to do, once I have that outline written out and kind of a guide for me to follow, I get to do the part that I love, which is writing the actual story. And, you know, writing, I know lots and lots of authors talk about writer's block, not being able to come up with another idea. And I've hit that. I have hit that. I just don't know where to take it. Even though I've got the outline in front of me where the story is going next, I've hit that wall of I don't get the character from point A to point B. They make this story connect. And it's very frustrating. And sometimes if I get up and just take my dog out to the computer for a second, the idea will come to me. Other times, I'm not that lucky. I have to do something more. And you know what I turn back to? I turn back to my good old friend. I just make myself start typing and I start writing. And it will be about Megan. It will be about that I am currently working on. But I just start writing it. Usually it doesn't make much sense. Usually there's a lot of plot holes that readers would be scratching their heads at. It just gets me writing enough, even if I kind of repeat myself, let me pass that roadblock. It gets me on to the next point of the story back, and I change it up later. But it just kind of gets me out of that roadblock. I really, really love that I can keep relying on jam writing and my daily writing that I do for my future books. So I will do this throughout the entire book. I try to write 2,000 to 3,000 words every day on the books that I'm working on now. I will write it out with no chapter breaks, really not very much editing going into it until I get the entire novel completed. And then I go back and I start like this wombat, that story that Megan's working with exotic animals on. I've done a lot of research on wombats as I've been writing this, but I've also left big holes in my manuscript of, okay, I've really got to look into this. What is it that wombats eat? And is this fact about wombats correct? So I put that stuff up and really fact check myself once I get the entire book completed. And I go back and I work through all of my chapter that there's a clean change between chapter titles and everything laid out. I make sure and there's no parts of the story that really, really drag, because I know sometimes I'm really involved in writing long descriptions of things when I'm describing something. And I go back and I'm like, okay, the reader's going to be asleep, so I'll change it up and maybe put some of those details into talking to her friend or her parents or even the veterinarian about. But just putting the details in the dialogue so that I keep the pace and everything of the book flowing is something I do. Get the novel fully written in a rough draft form. And yes, say rough draft, I do mean rough draft. Those first cuts of my books are not, but they will get their start and they do get me to where I'm trying to go after several renditions, because I don't even let an editor or anyone see the at least 3 or 4 drafts of a book by myself. Just rewording dialogues or adding new things. The other thing I found about these books is I might be following my outline very, very closely on when I'm drafting a novel, but then as I start editing it and as I start doing trying to perfect it, I stray from my outline an awful lot because these come to me. And I think, oh, this would be cool. I should have Megan do this or whatever the case may be. But I'll always stray from my outline. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And as long as it doesn't interrupt the flow of my story and isn't going to bore my reader to tears, I let myself do it. And my editor is really good at telling me, okay, this section really, really drags. We've got to make this more exciting. Or you're going too fast. You need to slow the tempo of the book down so that there's a little bit more the reader's going to want to keep turning pages past chapter 3 or 4, wherever. But I love that working in the current manuscript will get me thinking of new ideas, and I kind of tweak and I kind of change my outline as I'm going. But I've also left big, huge blanks. If there's sometimes in my writing where jam writing past the point where I'm kind of against the wall, I don't know where to take it, where I just leave a blank. I just hit enter on my computer 3 or 4 times and leave, and I keep going on the next scene where I know what's going to happen and I know what I want to say. I'll go back to it in a day or two. Sometimes I've left that blank space for as long as a week before I can go back to it and fill it in. But eventually it does fill in. And it does come to me. You know, the crazy thing is these great ideas, usually come to me when I'm laying down asleep at night. That seems to be when I get these really, really good ideas. So, you know what I've done? Like a true writer or a true person that really wants to remember these ideas when they wake up in the morning? I have a notepad and pencil by my bed so that I can write it down and remember when I wake up in the morning. Going back to my true writing process, I know I got sidetracked. That's what I do, I guess. Sorry about that, guys. But by the time I hit about draft 4, I am going through and trying to catch as many grammatical and punctuation errors as I can with the editor, making sure that the story really, really flows well and the characters' actions that are not only in line with how I've written the characters, but also are following the plot of the book and not just doing some totally off-the-wall random thing. Usually by about draft 5, I'm having the editor start working with me on it, start going through, and she's really good about doing it. She'll read through the chapter and then send me the Word document of all her notions and everything she wants me to change on it. And so we go back and forth to where all 8 or 9 chapters back to me with her edited notes, I'm already ready to send at least the first couple chapters back to her with revisions that I've done. And we keep going. Usually she ends up reading the book 3 times before we've got it really, really perfected to where all any of the grammatical and punctuation errors as we can catch are there, and the content and dialogue flows really, really well, and everything is forward with writing and preparing a document that I upload to Amazon to publish the book, which is a whole other radio show I'm sure I can do in the future of just adding that Word document into the margins and thing that it needs to go up on Amazon. And I make sure that when I'm drafting and working on these books that I try and keep all of my megas the exact same length. I try and keep them right around 25,000 words, which is right in the mid-range for the middle grade fiction that they're geared to. Adults and seniors that absolutely love the animal stories that are in them, they're a fun read because you can read through it very, very easily. But the full process, I know you're thinking to yourself, how long does it truly take for you to get a book initial idea to the end of where you're publishing the book? And I know you're going to laugh because I'm kind of going to give you an answer and not an answer all at the same time, because it truly does vary. And stick with me here because I'm going to expand on that. Now that I've done it and now that I really have the characters developed for Megan's World and for this book series, it takes me maybe a month to write out the full draft of the book and get it to where, okay, the rough draft is done. I'm ready to start breaking out the chapters and getting it ready to go to the editor. But that first one, when I was creating the Megan's World and creating settings and everything, that book took me the absolute longest because I knew what I wanted the character to do. But Megan, my character, was only doing exactly that. She was only bother raising the kid. There was nothing that made you want Megan to make the reader want to root for Megan in any way. I was also learning to write and learning to work off of journals of how I raised the kittens. It was very factual. They were this many days old. They ate tablespoons of formula and they were able to, you know. So I had to get out of that almost the scientific mindset, an experimental journal or a scientific journal, and into that creative mindset of, okay, this is how I'm going to make Megan relatable to readers because She has these very human qualities, and nobody's perfect, and it's not much fun to read about somebody in a world that is so, so perfect. So I created, you know, little thing that she's not perfect. She makes mistakes. She has to apologize to people. She has fights with people. She has to make up with them. And by doing that over the course of probably 6 months to a year, I don't even know how many editors I worked with on that first book, Megan, because I was getting something from absolutely every editor. Everyone was telling me that, okay, you need to do this section of it is really good, but then you have to make Megan have another life besides raising the kittens. And I still remember this one editor said, does Megan decide to use kittens? It's like all encompassing. What 13-year-old girl is going to want her whole life bottle raising kittens? Make her have friends. Make her have outside interests. And so I did it, but creating that initial world was for me, and it took lots and lots of rewrites, much more than the 4, 5, 6 drafts go through currently now, because it was a lot more in that world. But now I know where it's going. I know what the characters, and it's a lot of fun. I absolutely love going to my desk at my computer and writing every morning. And like I said, the current books take me 2 to 4 weeks to get the rough. My first book took me pretty close to a year. But Megan's Exotic Adventures, that may take me longer because I'm having to learn a whole lot about exotic critters that I don't have the same knowledge for. It's also a lot of fun. I'm excited to be working on it. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Pamela Follin Show and enjoyed learning all about my writing. My love of writing. You can check out more about me and about my website, PamelaFollin.com, and be sure to listen to the arc of my show and other interviews I've done as an author on ArtistFirstRadioNetworks.com. And I will see you next time on the 4th Monday at 6 o'clock. So I look forward to talking to you then. Have a great night.